The following podcast of SB Nation Radio is brought to you by BetDSI.com. With the NFL and college football seasons here, it's time to take that pigskin knowledge to the bank at BetDSI.com. With 20 years in the business, an impeccable reputation for great service, fast payouts, and an excellent mobile interface where you can play, win, and get paid, it's a no-brainer. BetDSI.com is the place to go. They have every wager option you could ever want or even imagine. And if you're watching a game, you can use BetDSI's live betting option to bet on the fly. Whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the UFC, esports, global sports, or even politics, celebrities. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. Whatever you feel like betting on, BetDSI has it for you. You get started today with BetDSI, you can get some extra bang for your buck, too. They're offering double your money for your first deposit. That's right, deposit to start winning and get up to $2,500 free. That's double your money right from the get-go. So what are you waiting for? Double your bankroll right now by joining BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101. The games are more fun when you get paid, so play at BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, reports are that Le'Veon Bell is not expected, and I repeat, not expected, to be part of the Steelers when they take on the Carolina Panthers Thursday night. He did have an interesting tweet in which he said goodbye to Miami, where he's been hanging out. Once again, Le'Veon Bell leaving money on the table, not reporting to the team. It doesn't seem to really be all that interested in bringing him back. Although, look, you can comment all you want about James Conner, and I think James Conner is a great story, and he's a local guy that... I mean, his story is great just from the overcoming cancer situation and being a local guy that he's sold a lot of jerseys and he's got his opportunity and he's playing well and Steeler fans are embracing him. If you add Le'Veon Bell to the mix, I don't know how you wouldn't be better, but I think there is a component, and we talked about this earlier, Ron and I talked about this earlier, I think there is a component is in terms of the Bell's addition to a locker room that and a team right now that seems to be rolling. Yes, he's a special talent. He really is a special talent, but he's got some fences to mend before he causes any trouble. Remember, this holdout was not an accepted holdout by some of his brethren on the Steelers. They were not happy about this, and that's a rare thing in this league because despite teammates and wanting to come together and unifying to win, almost everybody who wears an NFL uniform or is part of the union understands the process Le'Veon Bell is going through. They understand the larger picture of what Bell is trying to do. This is not about being greedy. This is about being secure. And every one of those guys in the locker room knows that feeling of not being secure in your job and in your future paycheck. However, this did not go over very well. This just did not. I mean, there were people on the Steelers who publicly stated their displeasure with Bell for holding out. This is something you just don't see. And so I don't know what Le'Veon Bell meant when he said goodbye to Miami, but as of right now, it is not saying hello to Pittsburgh. And I don't know if the Steelers would even say, hey, come on in. I don't know. I think they would, and I hope they would. But it just did not play out the way Le'Veon Bell wanted it to. We'll talk more about that. Plus, we'll get into Major League Baseball award season. So who do we think is going to take home some hardware next on SB Nation AM?
Back to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Glad you can be with us here on SB Nation AM, Tony D and Ron Culver. Mike Florio at Pro Football Talk has an interesting breakdown of the Le'Veon Bell situation. If you like numbers, I know numbers can get a little, sometimes we don't like getting into salaries and numbers and tags and all that stuff, but here's how it basically works out, okay? So Le'Veon Bell is not playing. He's leaving the franchise tag money, the 14 and change million dollars. Is every week he's leaving money on the table. However, if he reports to the Steelers and plays, let's say he reports next Tuesday, if he plays the rest of the way out, right, on that thing, if he plays that rest of the way, then the Steelers would have to offer him, if they wanted to franchise tag him next year, they would have to offer him in the neighborhood of $25 million as a franchise tag to the quarterback franchise tender for tagging him a third time. If he does not show up at all, if he does not play at all in 2018, then the Steelers can tag him again for the same amount of money at $14.5 million. So actually, Le'Veon Bell should be reporting. And should be reporting soon, because either two things are going to happen for Le'Veon Bell next year if he does report by next Tuesday. One, he's going to get franchise tag at near $25 million. Or two, he's going to be a free agent because they're not going to want to do that. And the Steelers will probably unlikely do that. So if he doesn't come in at all, if he's going to stand on this, I'm not playing under a tag, and I won't play under a tag because he's worried about being hurt and he's worried about getting that free agent deal. Okay, yeah, he's going to leave money on the table, but he'll go through this same issue next year because the Steelers could franchise tag him again at $14.5 million. And if he wasn't going to play it on this year, he's not going to play it on the next year because what he's looking for is security. However, if he does report and he's willing to go the rest of the season to try to stay healthy and goes the rest of the season under whatever $5 million that's left on the current deal, if he does that, then either two things are going to happen. He's not going to play for the Steelers next year. He's going to get franchised at $25 million. So it's in his nature to report. He's probably holding out as long as he possibly can because he knows he's not going to play this year under any security. The Steelers have no reason to negotiate with them in a long-term deal unless they really do want an aging running back further down the line. If they want to tie up money to a running back in years where running backs don't get that kind of production, then if the Steelers want to do that, then the Steelers will do that, but it's unlikely they'll do that too. So it's just, again, numbers can sort of clog an issue. It can kind of fade an issue, but that's basically where Le'Veon Bell stands. It's just a bizarre situation because it's amazing. He's such a big star. He was a big star. And then the Steelers just replaced him. They're getting the production that they want out of James Conner. This has got to be nerve-wracking for Le'Veon Bell. Because, again, it's money, and it's all about money. But Bell's looking for more than that, and he's probably unlikely going to get it. The Steelers play Thursday night against the Carolina Panthers. So, according to Florio, he's got till next Tuesday. If he checks in by next Tuesday, he'll play for $5 million plus for the rest of this year and the next year. He's either going to get tagged, he'll get tagged to the $25 million, which the Steelers are unlikely to do, or they'll let him go and he'll head over into the free agency market. So we'll see. I don't know. It seems like maybe I was a little too harsh on his agent. Maybe they do have a plan. But still, it's a lot of money they left on the table. It really is. It's a lot of money. But again, if he gets hurt, well, those free agency plans start falling by the wayside. So it's a calculated gamble, and it's one they're playing. If you are an NFL player, two things about the NFL that's really hard to sometimes fathom is that, and I remember meeting one guy, and he was a real numbers guy. Like, my brother's an accountant, so I meet people who kind of have that same numbers mindset. And I remember telling him, I was like, when you get older, you can be an accountant for a company, but if you really want to get into sports, become a capologist. Become the guy the general managers use to figure out all these contracts and figure out how to move money and how to save money and how much does this cost and how do we put together contracts so that when we release a guy at a certain period of time, it doesn't hurt us down the road. Those numbers can be just mesmerizing if you put them out on an accounting sheet. They're crazy. But also, if you're an agent, and how you negotiate contracts and how you advise your clients. Think about all that mess that I just mentioned in terms of report here, get this dollar, get this. This was what will happen. That will. If you're an agent, this is what you have to know constantly. And you have to know all of this for every one of your clients. And you better have this stuff down because they're counting on you. Le'Veon Bell is leaving a lot of money on the table, right? He could have played this entire year in the first, 10 weeks of the season, 9 weeks of the season. He could have played for $14.5 million per year, for the whole year, all right? That's a lot of money. It's just a little less than $1 million per game check, right? But every game, he's left that on the table for a cause. But if you're an agent, you can have your player go for a cause like what Le'Veon Bell is doing, right? I want security, and I'm willing to hold out in order to get that security, whether it is with the Steelers or somebody else. But if you're an agent, you also have to know your options, okay? Because the scenario that's playing out for the Steelers is, oh, we just replaced you with James Conner, and now you and I have a different starting point. We didn't struggle like you thought we would. That you would come back to the bargaining table.
Well, like you remember there was a infamous video of him on a jet ski after it was like week two.
Right.
And the Steelers were 0-1-1.
Yep.
And, just smiling and laughing, almost like pointing a finger like, where's my money? When are you going to pay me?
Yeah.
And it almost feels like now he's just, I know that what the 9th is the cutoff date.
Yes.
Right. The 9th is the cutoff date that where he can't, if he doesn't sign or show up by the 9th and he can't play at all this season, and he's out all that money.
Yeah, he's out the entire 14.
But if he comes back, like what we're all predicting right now, if he comes back, today or tomorrow or the 8th, then he's eligible to receive all that money.
Yeah.
But it almost seems like now he's like, uh-oh. I kind of get the feeling like in the back of his mind, he might be thinking this kind of backfired on me because Connor is just lighting it up right now.
Yeah, it is. And again, if he doesn't play at all in 2018, the Steelers will just do this again next year. They'll just tag him at $14.5 million next year. And then he's back to square one where he's going to have to ask, okay, do I want to do this one more time? Do I want to continue to do this because I'm getting a year older? And even though I'm fresh, I didn't have no wear and tear in 2018, and that does say a lot. We've seen Adrian Peterson had that issue when he was suspended and came back. He didn't have that one extra year of wear and tear. But the reality of it is that as he's getting older, his level of value is going to start decreasing and decreasing rapidly, especially when you're talking long-term committed dollars, right? That's the thing that teams are going to look at when it comes to age. How long can you keep this up, and how much are you looking for, and what kind of money do you want to tie us up in?
Well, but the other thing he single-handedly almost proved was that the NFL can get past or can get by without having that solid number one running back. You don't need that marquee cornerstone running back.
Yes, if you find
there are talent, talent anywhere, and if you just build the right system around them, they can do it well.
Yep, exactly right. Exactly right. And I think that played into this a lot. Now there's going to be a team that will say, "No, they'll negotiate a deal and he might make some money when he hits the free agent market." But the Steelers can make this really, really hard for him. And that's what I'm interested in seeing and how this plays out, because again, he's got until a point where he can play for $5 million the rest of the way and then basically get what he's looking for, which is become a free agent or play for $25 million next year. But if he holds out for 2018, he's in back at square one again. It doesn't look like, unless he can break free and become that free agent, he's not going to get that security he's looking for. And even if he does, it may not be what he was really looking for from the Steelers in terms of like the Todd Gurley money or anything. Like, I don't think he's going to be getting that.
And then the other thing you got to think of too is like for the Steelers, I mean, if Le'Veon Bell comes back today, he's not going to be ready for this weekend.
No,
he may not even be ready for the following week.
Right.
So what if Connor goes ahead and has two amazing games?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, how do you disrupt that? And you can see that he's one of the catalysts for the reason why the Steelers are winning. It's like, how do you disrupt that? You can't.
Nope. Not right now. Not right now you can't. So I think the thing is that you hope that the coaching staff is good enough to say, look, we can obviously you're a special talent and we can absolutely add this to the system, you know, you to the system. But as I mentioned earlier, the discourse, you don't see NFL guys attack other NFL guys for this. You just don't. I mean, it just doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. They're all, as much as they're, you know, we all kind of, we want to win and we're teammates. This is what makes guys who have gone from college to the pros in terms of coaching will all tell you the same thing. They go to college, they're dealing with kids, they get to the NFL, it's business. It's people's money, it's their job, it's a business. Okay, and that trumps a lot of things, all right? That whole, this is my livelihood, you're messing with my money, don't mess with my money. That trumps a lot of things. It almost never, ever, ever gets to a point where players criticize other players for their taking steps to secure themselves and make themselves richer, because it benefits everybody when they do, right? If they hold out and they get that deal, it trickles down to a lot of people around the league. But the Steelers, right away in camp, were disappointed he didn't show up and publicly said so. And that's something you never see. You just don't see it. And yet they did. 800-777-2907. All right, when we come back, we're going to do baseball awards because they're going to be handing out some hardware. We're going to tell you who we think is going to win these things like Rookie of the Year, MVP, Manager of the Year, et cetera, et cetera. It's all coming up next on SB Nation AM.
Hi, this is Mike Herzing from Let's Talk Wheels, an automotive tip brought to you by the great folks at Jeep. I am sure you've heard me talk about the biggest recall in automotive history, and that's the Takata airbag inflator recall. This recall has involved 50 million airbag inflators in 37.5 million cars in the U.S. alone. The recall will eventually grow to affect 70 million inflators by 2020. Long-term exposure to high heat and humidity can cause these airbag inflators to explode when deployed. These explosions have caused injuries and several deaths. You should check the government website, safercar.gov, every few months to see if or when your vehicle's been added to the recall list. Or just call your dealer and ask. Many car companies have issued do not drive warnings and will provide a car for you to use while yours is being fixed. This is a free repair that can save your life, folks. This is Mike Curzon from Let's Talk Wheels, and brought to you by the great folks at Jeep. More tips, go to the new letstalkwheels.com. That's right, the new letstalkwheels.com.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas.
It's the Jeep Black Friday sales event, the perfect time to get great deals all month long on capable Jeep brand vehicles. But why limit yourself to a white Christmas when you can take in breathtaking red rocks with Jeep Cherokee's available legendary 4x4 capability? Head towards blue waters with Jeep Compass's innovative technology and connectivity. Check out a shimmering light show in Jeep Grand Cherokee, the most awarded SUV ever. Or make it a white one through snow-covered hills in Jeep Wrangler, the most capable Wrangler ever. Hurry into the Jeep Black Friday sales event for great deals all month long and make your next adventure the most colorful ever. Jeep Grand Cherokee has received more awards over its lifetime than any other SUV. Jeep is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
Every day can't be hat day.
Take off your hat.
Stop worrying about your hairline today by visiting forhims.com/cheer. That's forhims.com/cheer. This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
O'Reilly Auto Parts is proud to offer a military discount for those who have served our country. If you're an active or retired member of the military or a veteran, stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store and receive your discount every day as our way of saying thank you for your service. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day.
You know what? I'm watching.
Yeah, go ahead.
I had a local news station on in one of the TVs up here.
Yes.
And so I'm watching, you know, people doing their American civic duty, voting. Get out and vote today.
Yes.
Get out and vote. But I maybe, you know, these camera guys got to do a better job. I'm looking at this TV and they're just looking at this long line of people who look like they are, I don't know, waiting in line for food or, you know, waiting in line to, like, get some special vouchers. They look so depressed.
While they're standing in line to vote?
While they're no, they've already voted. It
oh,
looks
they
like,
already voted, okay.
It looks like they're turning in their ballots, and they're just, I mean, they look like they're at the DMV. They are just not happy yes. at all, and it's like you look at this, and like, this is the picture you're trying to point out to all of Houston, because it's local, you know, they're showing local area. It's all of Houston right now. Get out and vote, and this is what we're showing. It's like, why would I want to go there right now? That place does not look like fun at all.
No. Oh, gosh.
There's no way I'd want to stand in the DMV right now.
Oh, DMV. Yeah, I know.
It's like the DMV is like nobody ever. Who applies to work at the DMV, by the way?
Well, if you work at the DMV, you get to be like, you get to do exactly what you want to do at the pace you want to do it. And there doesn't seem to be anybody telling you not to, you know.
Like if you're they're event, always like, in a hurry at the DMV.
What job could I do where I could do exactly, I could work exactly at the speed I want to work and no boss will ever tell me to work faster.
All right, two things about that. One is, do you think they purposely seek people out who are standing in line and say, right when this guy gets in the front, I'm closing my window?
Oh, yeah, sure they do. I will guarantee it. I bet you, oh, yeah, of course they do. That guy looks like he has five or six transactions that he wants to do. I don't want to deal with that.
Because
time to go to lunch.
And then my other gripe is, you know, I'm hoping I'm not the only one, you know, but I it always feels that I am. Why am I the only one that when I go up there, I have all my stuff together. I'm in and out. Literally, I feel like in 5 minutes. Am I not asking enough questions?
No, apparently you're not. No, exactly.
I mean,
you know, one time I got pulled over in New Jersey one time and my car wasn't registered and I was like, I pushed it a little too far and I was like, okay. And he's like, get it registered today. And I'm like, all right. And I went in and I couldn't believe how fast I got in and out. And I thought I felt like I hit the lottery. Like I felt, cause I planned a whole afternoon of doing nothing but sitting, waiting for my number to be called. And I stood in line, it was like three people ahead of me in line. And I just stood in line, bam, bam, bam. I got it done. And I was like, I can't believe that.
Yeah, but you've been in those situations where you have everything you need,
yep.
And you're literally going up there. It's like I'm renewing my license. I just need to pay the fee, snap a photo, and I'm out. And a lot of times I feel like I'm there for like maybe 10 minutes total. Like not standing in line. I'm standing in line for like 4 days.
Right. No. No doubt. Right.
But when I finally get up to the window, I'm there maybe like 5-10 minutes. Where it seems like, and like, why isn't this line moving faster? If everyone is like me. If everyone is cruising right along and has all their stuff together, sometimes I walk away like, okay, did I not ask a question I'm supposed to?
No, what happens is people get up to the line and they go, I'd like to renew my license. And they go, okay, give me your, your social security card or whatever it is, something that they need. And somebody goes, I don't have that. And they're like, oh, well, you need that. And they're like, well, it doesn't say what, and they argue and they, you know, and they're like, okay. And then they start. And they don't have it, and they fight about it. Or you're right; they ask a million questions, or the transaction takes.
Because that's the most annoying. I mean,
transferring a title or something like that.
Yeah, I just sit there. I'm looking at them, and I feel bad for the people who are behind the counter. You know, whether it's DMV, whether it's the bank or whatever. I always feel bad for those people because it seems like, you know, God, you're just standing on your feet. You're not really getting a break. You're not getting help because you never see a manager.
Yeah,
you know,
no,
they're always in the back just hanging out.
Never.
And there's probably times where they're secretly wishing, like, you know what, I wish I could do the driving test today. I just want to get out and drive around.
You ever notice that they don't give you a how are we doing survey? You know, they never like, hey, you want to call this 1-800 number and tell us how we did? They don't care.
And see, that's the most amazing thing. So, I mean, I've lived in a couple of states. I know you've lived in a couple of states. And the DMV is the same in every single state.
The same in every state. No one ever says, come to Wyoming. We get you in and out in 10 minutes. Nobody ever says that. It's like,
now, the
no,
one,
it's the same thing.
I will say this. What was weird, when I lived in Hawaii and we registered our car in Hawaii, I was handed license plates right then and there. I've never had that happen before.
Oh, yeah. See, some places. Here, Tennessee, they do it, but in New Jersey, I had to get it mailed.
Yeah, I've always had them mailed. Now, I remember once my wife and I had bought a car. And it was a used car. We bought it in California. And you know, waiting for the registration to come in, we had the temporary registration and all that. Then the temporary registration was getting close to expiring. And I was like, okay, well, we got the sticker. I just never got the plates. And I'm sitting there like that, just kind of weird. And so I'm on the phone with the DMV, which takes about as long as actually going in person. I probably should have just went in person and made a day of it. But instead, I decided, you know, I'm going to sit on the phone. Turns out the plates have been on the car the entire time. That's how observant I am.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they just left the plates on there and just, you know, the fake paper plate that they have. They just put that on top of it.
Wow.
I'm like, that's kind of, I don't think that's a wise thing to do. I don't know.
All right. Well, I guess today, since today is election day, I guess we should tell people to go vote. But you know what? I don't like telling people what to do. So if you don't want to vote, don't vote. If you
just
do want to
vote, just vote.
Stop putting people. Yeah, but here's the deal. Stop putting. This is what drives me crazy, right? Because I'm on my Facebook feed and everyone's like, vote, vote. I'm an adult. I'll do whatever I want. All right. If I vote, I vote. If I don't, I don't. I don't need you to tell me. Why don't you tell me to eat breakfast? Why don't you tell me to get 8 hours of sleep? Why don't you tell me to shovel the driveway when it snows? But today's the day you get to order me around, tell me to vote. Mind your, if I vote, I vote. If I don't, I don't. What do you?
Hey, regardless of anything, we all can look forward to one thing: no more political ads.
Yeah. Well,
can we be excited about that?
Exactly right.
Get back to our regular, Folgers coffee. I don't even, Folgers coffee.
I should post vote or don't vote. I really don't care. Have a good election day.
Just do you.
Just do you.
Be the best you can be.
We'll talk SEC football coming up. The Georgia problem. Is it real? Is it real? Could it cause the chaos we're looking for? That's next.
Now, back to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, we're trying to hook up with Connor O'Gara, who is with Saturday Down South, to talk some SEC football. One of the things the SEC has done really well, besides having really good football teams and really good tradition of good football teams, is that they sell themselves really well. I mean, that's one of the part of the process. I mean, college football for a lot of it is selling your program, selling your success, and the SEC has done that. That's why those ads, it means more, and it really does play itself out. Connor O'Gara joins us Saturday Down South to talk some SEC football, especially what could happen, the chaos that could ensue if Georgia should upset Alabama in the title game, what that could mean. Connor, how are you?
I'm doing well. How you doing?
Good. Before we get to the chaos that me and Ron have kind of secretly hoping for, give me an idea from the SEC. Is this one of the better top to bottom? Is this one of the better years it's had? Is it about the same or is it less than? How have you graded the 2018 SEC slate from top to bottom?
I think for the SEC hater crowd, this has been a really tough year. I think that a lot of the narratives that you came into this season about the SEC have been proven wrong in many respects, really. I mean, I know that we already have the division titles. Those have already been decided. We know that Georgia and Alabama are going to Atlanta, and that's what many people said in the preseason. And there are some people who are just going to look at that and think, oh, well, the SEC is just top heavy and it's just Bama and everybody else. I disagree with that a lot, just because if you look at the teams that have risen above expectations this year, teams like LSU, teams like Kentucky, even a team like Florida, who I did not expect to be in the top 15 in the beginning of November, teams that have really showed that the SEC actually has depth. And all this talk about how the East was just, the second fiddle, not even close to where the West was, and how the imbalance in the divisions. I could have made a pretty good case a couple weeks ago that the East is actually having a better year than the West. And I think that depth shows that the SEC is in a place that a lot of other conferences really are not at. And no other conference really has two divisions that are actually both competitors. And there are really not a lot of conferences right now that have two, maybe a leader in each division that look like they could actually compete for a playoff spot. I mean, I think that shows you just kind of where the conference is at right now.
All right, so look, as good as Alabama is playing, I think if Alabama ends up losing, it is probably something when we look back and say, well, they beat themselves with this. Is there anything, Connor, that you've seen? I mean, even getting into the real minutia of what Alabama's got right now, into the detail, is there anything that can be exploited or some problem that Nick Saban's got with something that could cause them to stumble down the stretch at all?
If you would have told me a week ago, if there was a weakness for Alabama, I would have probably maybe said something about the defense. after watching what they did on Saturday night in Baton Rouge, I'm not saying that anymore, just because they've improved. Ever since they had that 31-point dud against Arkansas, they have been they've improved every single week from a defensive standpoint, and a young secondary that had some injury issues early on is looking really, really good, and that's a problem. If Nick Saban's defense is all of a sudden a vintage Nick Saban defense, this team is even better than we thought, and that to me is the scary part. Now, you can get into the scenario of what's it going to look like when Bama actually has to play four quarters and whether or not they're up to conditioning and all that stuff, and we'll go back to the 2016 Clemson narratives and whether or not they can hang with the team for that long. There's something to be said for that. But I just don't know how a team's going to stay in the field with them for 60 minutes. They have too much offensive firepower. They haven't even – I mean, they've saved their backs, too, from getting all these hits because they've been so deep. Damian Harris barely has, you know, had to be used as a featured back. And this team just has so many good things going for it right now, where as long as it stays healthy, I just really, really find it hard to believe that somebody's going to stay on the field with them for 60 minutes.
All right, let's say we get to the SEC title game, and this is something Ron and I have been tossing about, and I'm sure a number of people have done this same kind of scenario. We get to the SEC title game. It's an unbeaten Alabama, one-loss Georgia. Georgia plays their hearts out. They get a lot of lucky bounces. Things go their way. They pull off this upset. They're celebrating in Atlanta. There is no way that the committee is going to keep one of those two teams out of the playoff, right? Two teams from the SEC are then going, correct?
I agree with that. Yeah, the scenario that I see a lot of people floating around, which isn't going to happen because as fun as it is to talk about, it's November and upsets happen, but the scenario where you would have an undefeated Notre Dame, a one-loss Michigan, and then, you know, some sort of mix of Oklahoma winning out, and then, you know, Bama, and of course, Georgia playing in the SEC championship. I think a one-loss Michigan would get left out, or maybe even a one-loss Oklahoma as a conference champ, just because I think Bama has a loss to give. I think they have earned that right. They picked up the best win of the year of any college football team this past week. Say what you want about their schedule for the first part of the season, even though they do still have that win against A&M, which a lot of people are looking at for Clemson as a quality win too. I know it's home road different, but still. I think that they picked up the best possible win of anybody. And if you're just going to ignore that and just say that, oh, well, Bama loses late in the season, they're all of a sudden going to fall out of the top four, I think that's ludicrous. I think that they've killed every team in sight, and they've looked the part of a number one team. And the selection committee, by putting them at number one, has overlooked the fact that their resume in terms of quality opponents wasn't great, but their margin of victory and how dominant they've been week in, week out, says a lot. And I think that they've earned the right where if they lose in that SEC championship game to Georgia, I think they're still in. As much as that's going to frustrate people and they're going to call for bias, what they did at LSU and the fashion that they did it is going to have a very lasting impact.
Now, I'm asking you to speculate a little bit here, but I heard that this college football playoff idea had been floating around longer than the LSU-Alabama national title game 5 or 6 years ago. But a lot of people have said, you know, when that occurred, when LSU beat Alabama during the regular season, and then the BCS computers spit it out that Alabama was going to get to play them again, that sort of sped up the process. The people said, all right, let's kind of do something else, because the optics don't look good here. Let's say you have this scenario played out. And again, I agree with you. Upsets could happen, so we may not even have this. But we have Georgia upsets Alabama, two SEC teams in. If I'm a president in a Big Ten school, I can't have a one-loss Michigan that's been in the top five all year or been in the top 10 all year out of this thing if they're my conference champion. Likewise, I can't have an Oklahoma that's been in the top 10 for most of the year out of this thing. Do you think that becomes a seed for them to go, okay, we got to do something else. We may have to expand this thing down the road when the contracts, TV contracts all expire or something along those lines. Would that become a seed for what people kind of are looking for, maybe 6 or possibly 18?
I think that's definitely a possibility. I think the Big Ten's biggest mistake right now is the fact that it's still sitting there with a 9-game conference schedule. The ACC and SEC are the only two Power 5 conferences with the 8-game conference schedule, and they're smart. They don't have to switch. And the path for them to get to the playoff is easier because of it. We have still yet to see a team in the playoff era go 9-0 in conference play, win a conference championship, and make the playoff. The only team, even as of a week and a half ago, that was still eligible to accomplish that feat is Michigan this year. That's it. So from that perspective, if I'm the Big Ten, I'm looking, you know, that's my biggest mistake. And I understand that Michigan lost in non-conference play. But to me, this is still a situation in which the Big Ten has shot itself in the foot because of that, because it thought that the SEC and had thought that the ACC was going to go to this nine-game conference schedule when really there was nothing forcing the SEC and ACC to do that. And the SEC coaches have said, yeah, like a nine-game conference schedule would be great. Don't get me wrong, but there is nothing forcing us to change. Why would we change? There's no reason to when we can make the path to the playoff that much easier. And I think that that, to me, is going to be the area that's going to be addressed before potentially getting to that expansion. But, yeah, I mean, it's hard to sit there and accept things the way that they are to get left out of the playoff for a second year in a row, and if it's for the first time, a one-loss conference champ. Keep in mind, we have not seen a one-loss Power 5 conference champ get left out of the playoff. Could this be the first year that that happens? I mean, if it does, we're definitely going to have a scenario in which these conference commissioners are talking about the idea of expansion or what they can do to better their chances to get in the field.
Connor O'Gara joins us Saturday down south as we talk some SEC football. So we know Alabama and Georgia are going to play, and we know there's still some football to be left. Injuries can occur. Teams may, the records might look a little different than we anticipate. But nevertheless, they are going to play. They played in the championship game last year. Players come and go. Players like Tua, you know, emerge and start and get a lot more games and a lot more experience under the belt. But in terms of how it looks on paper, how different is the game on that December Saturday going to be from what we saw in the national title game? How many missing pieces could affect what we are anticipating?
Well, it's tough because, you know, I asked the question after the LSU game when we saw that what the SEC championship field was going to be. And my question was, does Georgia on a neutral field have a better chance than LSU in Baton Rouge at night?
Yeah.
And I think that they do, but it's tough to evaluate just because last year Georgia players talked about how they didn't necessarily have – they weren't preparing to face Tua. And what he did in the second half was them being on their heels the entire time. So given the fact that you would have, you know, a little bit of time to prepare for that, that obviously adds to the equation. There's also the fact that Tua has gotten better, and he's gotten on the same page as his receivers even more so. And if you just look at what he did against that Georgia, an even better Georgia defense in the second half of that game, it's tough to look at that and say, yeah, he's going to all of a sudden struggle against this Georgia defense this year. Now, could Kirby Smart pull a rabbit out of his hat and get that team to play on a different level, and, you know, maybe it's a down-to-the-wire game that this time goes in Georgia's favor? Sure, I mean, I suppose that's possible. But for me, sitting here today, it's very tough to see a scenario in which a healthy Tua is not able to light up that defense. And I know that sounds, you know, like what in the world is going to stop him, but I can't see it right now. So for me, you know, I agree with the fact that Bama's going to be favored by 2 touchdowns in this one, and maybe Georgia does give them the best game that they've seen all year, but Bama still has such a significant edge right now that it's just so tough to imagine any scenario that doesn't end in Bama hoisting the SEC championship and moving on to the college football playoff.
All right, let me ask you about two teams because one is a personal question and the other one is just more semantics. And the first one is going to be about Kentucky. Kentucky surprisingly played well. They run the ball great with Snell. They have got a great, great defense. Is that long-lasting? Is that just a kind of lightning in a bottle? Or is he building something there in Lexington? And we'll be talking about Kentucky for years. Second part, more personal. I went to South Carolina. I thought we were going to be competitive in the East. What the hell happened to the Gamecocks? So I'll let you take both of those questions.
So the Kentucky thing, I do think it's sustainable to a certain extent. And I give Mark Stoops a lot of credit because if you look at the general makeup of his team, he had more Ohio players than Kentucky players. And I think he gets a lot of the guys who come in, like Benny Snell, with a chip on their shoulder after not getting offers from the big-time schools like Ohio State and Notre Dame. And I think that he's been able to maximize that. Let's not forget that this isn't just a one-year thing where they came out of nowhere. Yes, they had this unbelievable season, but this is going to be 3 straight years of 7-plus wins for Mark Stoops. And that's not an easy thing to do to Kentucky. So I think defensively it is sustainable. They're going to lose a lot of talent, of course. We expect you know, the likes of Josh Allen and then, you know, on the offensive side, Benny Snell. We expect them to go to the NFL, and they're going to have some key pieces to replace. But I do think that the model is sustainable to a certain extent. Now, they've got an extraordinary offensive line play this year. Let's not forget that, too. And what's been a very one-dimensional offense, you know, a lot of teams really haven't been able to hold that running game at bay. So I do think that it's sustainable moving forward just because of how well he's been able to recruit and being able to find those kind of diamonds in the rough in the state of Ohio and being able to bring him to Kentucky and to do some good things. So I think the future is still bright for Mark Stoops. And then, you know, South Carolina, I thought that there was overblown hype. I thought that coming into this year, I hated the fact that people were already predicting that upset against Georgia. I didn't think that South Carolina showed that it was on that level. I think people saw the bowl game against a deflated Michigan team and got really, really excited.
Yep.
Brian McClendon comes in with this new offense, and they're going to throw the ball all over the place. Jake Bentley's going to have the year of his life, and all this stuff is all well and good. But they won so many close games last year. I think there were something like 6-1 in games decided by 7 or less points. And I questioned during this offseason if there was some regression in store, if a team that ended up getting to that 9-win mark maybe wasn't as good as what we were making it out to be. And sure enough, they've had some issues in the trenches this year, and this has not necessarily been the high-powered offense that we thought it was going to be. Granted, they are coming off a 48-point output at Ole Miss, but this is still just a work in progress, and it's not easy to just all of a sudden flip the switch and turn this offense into a juggernaut. So I do think that it's been a little bit more of what I expected from them, where they're kind of middle of the pack. Maybe they'll get to that 7-8 win mark. But this is just still not an easy thing to do. And the division's been better than we thought it was going to be, and that's been part of it. So if I'm a South Carolina fan, I'm not discouraged. I'm not throwing Will Muschamp under the bus or anything like that. But maybe just kind of temper expectations coming into next year.
Connor, good stuff, man. We'll hope to catch up with you soon, and especially a little SEC championship preview when that time comes. Hope we get you on again. Thank you so much, my friend.
Definitely. Appreciate it.
Connor O'Gara, that is Saturday Down South, and this is SB Nation AM.
Gifting Map is your map for great gifts. Head over to giftingmap.com today. This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Oh, thank you very much to Connor O'Gara for joining us, talking some SEC football. Ron, have you been to Texas A&M for a game at all since you've arrived?
Not for a game.
Oh, you should go. There's got to be a way
you should go
to experience the joys of SEC football. You know where you should go if you really want to go? Like, obviously, Tuscaloosa and Baton Rouge at night is a bucket list thing. But one of the best places to go to experience SEC football is the Grove at the campus of Ole Miss.
All right.
Yep.
Road trip.
Yep. I've said this before, and I'll keep saying it. You know what? It was best described. Ole Miss was best described to me this way. If you were to be hit on the head and knocked out cold, and woken up on the Grove at Ole Miss and told you died and went to heaven, you would believe that statement. That's how pretty it is. Like they say, a red shirt Miss America is in Ole Miss. It's a beautiful, beautiful place. But nighttime in Baton Rouge, it's probably the best SEC experience. I know people will comment that the Swamp is the best, or 2001 at South Carolina is really good. But Death Valley at night, man, you can't beat it. SB Nation AM.